Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Andre, is Caterpillar really building a pickup truck?
Well, that is a $1 billion question, isn't it, Roman?
It is, and welcome to TFL Talking Trucks, and today we are going to be talking about possible future trucks, because not that long ago we debunked the rumor of a new Caterpillar truck coming to the market, but now we have learned more information.
Yeah, and then our friend Caleb from The Drive debunked us again.
we've been debunked.
Double debunking.
But before we get to the Caterpillar, let's talk about some trucks that we know are coming and that I think you guys will be very interested in. And I think the first one we need to talk about, Andre, and we believe, I'll put money on it, that it's coming, is this week we got news that Ford is definitely building the plug-in, let me repeat that, the plug-in hybrid Ranger, and it's going to be sold in Europe, in Australia, and it's probably going to be sold here. But before
It makes a lot of sense. That truck makes a lot of sense.
It makes a ton of sense.
Yes.
But before we get to that, why don't you tell us about the Ford plug-in Ranger?
Yes, so this news actually came out, Ford originally came out with this about 11 months ago, and then now, just a couple days ago, they dropped some more information on us.
Or if you're in our time, it's today.
It was today, but now you're listening to it in the future.
Yes.
Specifically, like you said, Australian, European markets, the plug-in hybrid Ranger currently for those markets is built in South Africa. So Ford has many different facilities, of course, around the world. And it's kind of an interesting concept. So it has 11.8 kilowatt hour battery.
Not huge, but not small.
It will go, according to them, about 27 miles, judging it by Australian or European cycles. And then it could have upwards of 350 horsepower, but they didn't say how much. But the electric motor is basically sandwiched between the four-cylinder turbo, the 2.3 liter, and its transmission, which is the 10-speed.
Isn't that the same engine we had in our old Ranger?
Yes, and they still have it. Huh. So that engine is really great. I mean, they had it from 2021, and they still have it. And whenever you and I tested, Roman, and with our team, we've done drag racing, towing tests, road trips. It's a really powerful engine, and now it can be a plug-in hybrid.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
So I'm super excited by this, Andre. And the reason I'm excited by it is because, let's take a quick step back. The current Ranger actually first began life. Not, there's three generations, right? There's the first generation, which was this all-American Ranger.
Well, that was a square one.
That was a square one.
Then there was another one.
Then there was a second generation, which basically was a European truck that Ford brought over here.
No, you skipped a generation. There was a generation, I believe, that, you know what? At one point, I think they sold 400,000 Rangers in the U.S. in a year. I mean, this was in a time where Toyota still was coming up with its truck, or the Tacoma that it was later called. But Ford was very successful with Rangers.
And then they killed it because of, this is them talking, not us, because they said they didn't want to cannibalize
the F-150.
And for a long time, we didn't have a Ranger. And all of you guys out there, or at least a lot of you, and all of us in here, were like, bring back the Ranger. And so what Ford did was they took the European Ranger and they... Well, now they're going to argue with me because we got in a big argument about this, right?
We said, yes.
Yeah, we said that basically they slapped a
bumper on it.
Metal bumpers, and they said, no, we re-engineered the whole thing for the North American market and brought it over. And that was the previous generation Ranger.
Which is 2021.
Yep. Yeah. And now we have the new Ranger. In fact, we own the Ranger Raptor.
Yes.
But that was also first introduced and rolled out in Australia and in Europe. So there's a long precedent of European Rangers coming to America. So now that we have a hybrid European Ranger, it is not beyond the pale to believe that it will come here as a mid-cycle refresh.
Yeah, which could be like a year from now, we could hear something about it, or maybe a little bit longer, right?
Yeah, kind of like the Maverick four-wheel drive hybrid that, you know, is now coming, and we've got an order with the fact that it took them, 2 years before they actually put that powertrain from the Escape, which is basically what the Maverick is based on, into the current Maverick, or the new one that's coming out shortly.
So if you're listening to this, and if you're watching our videos on alltfl.com, if this sounds interesting to you, you could always comment, right? And I've been told manufacturers tell us that they read our comments. And I believe it.
I believe it, because
they tell us about our videos and our stories. So if you all say, you know what, a plug-in hybrid Ranger would be an excellent choice. Of course, we don't know yet how much it would cost if it ever came, right? So it won't be cheap. But because it can run, it has, 6.9 kilowatt of export power. It can run your job site, can run your campground.
So it's got Pro Power on board?
Yes.
Just like your EcoBoost had?
My F-150 hybrid, yes.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah,
like the Lightning.
Yeah, that alone is worth the money. And, you know, you could also use that, let's say you're camping and you're towing a small camper or a big one. You could also plug it into the truck and then power it, using the hybrid plug-in hybrid battery or running the engine, I suppose, right? Which will generate power to actually provide power for your camper. Now, Andre, this is not the first hybrid truck in America, but it could be, probably not, but it could be the first plug-in hybrid. So Toyota, of course, has a hybrid Tacoma.
Yes.
But we know something about the Gladiator.
Yes, so the Gladiator, we expect it for next year, right? Mm-hmm. 2025. Gladiator 4xe, which is basically the plug-in hybrid system out of the Wrangler, put it into the pickup truck. And Roman, I've been waiting on the edge of my seat for more details about this, but Jeep hasn't unveiled the details quite yet.
Well, one of these two is going to force the other one to unveil some details pretty soon if they want to be first in
but
the market.
The good thing is we have several events coming up. You know, SEMA is first week of November. Yep. We have LA Auto Show later in November. We have several other events going on this year and then early next year. So I think Jeep has a lot of opportunity, and also Ford and others, to unveil new vehicles, or at least concepts, right, for us to see.
And by the way, I'm going to do a quick plug here for our Patreon supporters.
We want to thank them.
Yeah, we want to thank them.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, recently Autoblog basically got, I'm doing the cut across the throat symbol here if you're listening to this. And the reason for that was because, you know, they got kicked around and eventually they were bought by some VCs who decided that what is one of the best and most respected automotive news sources is, I guess, costing too much. So they decided to dismantle the whole thing.
And let go a bunch of excellent writers reporters.
The same thing happened at Motor Trend recently.
Yes.
And what's happening with influencers is that influencers are now kind of taking the place of automotive journalists. But the problem with influencers is it's basically paid advertising. And so if you guys want, or if you like, or if you appreciate the fact that we're still independent, and I could, you know,
and real,
and
also a human,
as opposed to an AI Andre or an AI Roman,
yes,
which would, by the way, they'd be much better looking, wouldn't they? And thinner
and much skinnier,
yeah,
and also buffer.
So maybe you
muscles.
Want an AI Roman, and an AI Andre, but if you value independent reporting where we're not beholden to anybody, right, where we don't take money from manufacturers, where we don't invest in automotive companies.
Exactly.
Because we value the fact that we're trying to provide you with real world, honest reviews. Head on over to our Patreon page.
Patreon.com/TFLCar is our only page there.
And you may be wondering what you get. So
first of all, you get
early access to videos. So
yes,
we've been putting up, you know, videos ahead of time every day for our patrons. Then you also get ad-free videos and ad-free podcasts. So, you know, if you're sick of listening to the ads or watching the ads, you can become a Patreon and you won't get any ads for the most part. And then we're also answering Patreon's questions.
Yeah, it's a way for you to talk to us directly.
Directly, yeah.
Questions or comments, something you would like changed or different, or just you're shopping for a new vehicle and you want to learn more. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this week, or this month, hopefully we're going to get maybe like a Zoom call going for all of our patrons. We're still working on that. So we've got a person dedicated who's doing nothing but kind of being the czar of Patreon to make sure that there's a lot of value. So if you value all that, we would greatly appreciate it. And we would love to keep doing what we're doing. But it's getting harder and harder in this business environment.
Well, yeah, Patreon and Apple are in a little bit of a kerfuffle.
I know. That's another bad thing. Apple's taking a chunk of that.
Yeah.
So if you want to, don't do it through the Apple app. Do it through the website. If you don't want Apple to get their cut of it, it's just getting silly. Anyway, let's go back to this topic that we were talking about.
I'm waiting for another Ranger, actually.
Tell me, which
that's
one?
That's coming even sooner.
Which one, Andre?
2.7 liter V6, right? So we have the Raptor with a 3 liter, right? So that's great. And we actually own a long-term one, thanks to you guys watching. But a lot of you are interested in 2.7 liter, which is basically an engine out of the F-150, which is the base engine there. But it also fits into the Ranger. And they're coming to dealers as we speak. And so I'm working really hard to review one. So within the next, I would say, couple of weeks.
That one we had, was that the 2.7? Or no?
Which one?
The one we got from the event that you went on.
That was a 2.3.
That was a 2.3, okay.
The same one that's the hybrid.
Yeah.
So the 2.7, the V6, everybody wants to know because it's not as expensive as a Raptor would be, but it still has a lot of power. So we listen to you. We also are looking forward to that, and we want to review it.
Hey, let me ask you this, Andre. Do you remember how big the battery is in the Wrangler in the 4xe?
I want to say like 15 kilowatt hour-ish.
So this one's going to be a little bit smaller in the Ranger?
11.8.
Yeah, okay. That's
fair. I think it has to do with towing and payload, right?
Yeah, what is the towing on the European?
It's European
3,500
kilograms,
which is what, 7,700 pounds. That's a boat ton, man.
Yes, that's a really great class, you know, matching, class leading number for midsize trucks. I was just going to look up Jeep Wrangler battery.
And I believe that they put the battery under the bed. And there is just a little bit of a slope in the bed, an upward slope, when you add the battery. So you do lose a little bit of bed space, but not a huge amount.
Right.
Nothing dramatic.
So it says the Wrangler 4xe has a 17.3 kilowatt hour battery.
So you're going to get a little bit more range.
But we don't know if they can stuff it into the Gladiator, Roman. We don't know.
Can
they stuff it?
They will, yes. They'll stuff it into the Gladiator.
Well, probably it goes underneath the seat.
So can I tell you a story?
What?
So as you know, we recently bought a 9-year-old BMW i8.
Yes.
Which was one of the first plug-in hybrids. Your wife owns an i3. We now own an i8.
Yes.
And I've now lived with that car, and we'll do a video about it soon, for about 2 months. And I've been keeping track. I've been doing something that you don't expect. I've been keeping track of how many miles I've driven on electric versus on gas.
Does the car help you do this?
No, I just do it. I just write it down.
Nice. Yeah.
So I wrote it down this weekend. I was working this weekend. And I've out of the 459 miles I've driven,
okay,
mostly around town.
Let me guess. Hold on. 459?
Yeah, I've driven. How many do you think were on electricity? Now keep in mind, it's got a range of about 15 to 20 miles.
Very small range.
Very small range.
Well, I know that you did not take any many trips, with the car.
I haven't driven it far. I've driven it to Longmont to Sam's Club. That's about as far as I drove.
So that's like 10 miles-ish?
Yeah, about, yeah.
I want to say you did 400 miles all electric and 59 miles.
Very close, 397.
Really?
Yeah, you
nailed
it. That's
a huge percentage.
Yeah, 397 electric. And I just putt around on electricity, and then I go home, plug it in, and then I putt around.
Well, it's hard to putt around in an i8, Roman. I mean, it's a performance car.
And guess what my fuel economy is? Because now the car tells me that. What do you think my fuel economy is?
Like equivalent MPG?
No, just period, because it calculates, actually, it knows how much fuel I'm using for those 450 miles. So it gives me...
MPG equivalent.
No, MPG, period.
Okay.
Not equivalent, period.
102 MPG.
No, 58. Not that much.
Well, actually, that's pretty good still. 58.
Yeah, that's
for
not bad.
Performance.
Yeah.
Exotic car, so, I would say. Yeah, it's an exotic.
So I think it somehow calculates what the energy, you know what I mean? It kind of knows. So at least that's what the car told me, 58. So I've gotten 58. And you know what? Out of the times I've been driving it, very rarely do I actually use gas. And even with this thing,
even if you step on it a little bit? Hard acceleration. I mean, does the engines kick in sometimes? Once in a while. Well, it needs to, doesn't it?
So with the 4xe, and I suspect with this, what you can do is you can tell the car not to use electricity until you want it to use it.
You could save it.
You could save it. So you could save the battery. And then it goes all electric up to 75 miles an hour. And if you exceed 75, then it kicks the engine in. And then what happens, and the reason I went, is because I think if you floor it, it doesn't kick in the engine, but there's a little push down. You know how the Germans do that, where you can floor it, but then there's like a little farther
extra. One? Okay.
So if you go into that little push button, then you will get the
engine maximum performance.
Maximum performance kicking in. Yeah. So it's not actually hard to live with a plug-in hybrid. And I went to Sam's, filled it up like 2 months ago, and now I still have half a tank. And this thing's got a tiny tank. I want to say it's 12 gallons, maybe.
11
it's
or 12. 12
gallons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I could live with this thing, you know, let's say it really does have, I mean, okay, so it's on the European cycle, right? I think they said 42 kilometers or something like that.
Or 45 kilometers,
yeah,
yes.
Which translates to, what, 27 miles?
Yeah.
But let's say realistically, you're going to be at,
you low know, 20s, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. So I could live with that.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Yeah, you could.
I could.
And if you are towing the trailer to Moab, you still have the engine helping you out. And
yeah.
You could still go a long way.
And I think there's a lot of confusion about plug-in hybrids, right? People either don't understand that you don't have to, and I'm hearing this a lot, that you don't have to ever plug in a plug-in hybrid. You could just drive it on gas your whole life.
You could.
Or if you do it like I did with the i8, you might not have to put gas in it. You know, you could just...
For a very long time.
For a very long time, yeah. And of course, the i8, and I don't think this thing has level 3 charging, right? So it's got level 2.
This does not have level 3.
I didn't think so.
So the Ranger plug-in hybrid, I think they said... Well, AC only, alternating current,
yep.
And about a couple of hours or so, 2 to 3 hours to fully recharge it. So like level 2 in your garage.
Yeah, so the i8, which has, I've got the smaller battery. They put a bigger battery in. I want to say it's like 12 kilowatt hours. It's smaller than this by far.
No, it's the same.
Oh, maybe it is the same.
Well, it's the same-ish.
Maybe it's smaller. Maybe okay. It's 10. Anyway, it takes like 8 hours if you plug it into regular current. And on a level two, which I also have at home, it does it in like an hour, hour and a half.
So this Ranger plug-in hybrid will be similar. Very similar to that.
Well, I think we've kind of killed that to death. You want to move on to your next one here before we get to the Caterpillar and all the other potentially interesting...
Potentially
fake trucks. What do you got next on that
list?
Well,
for what's real, let's talk about GM.
Yeah, let's talk about GM.
So General Motors... they recently confirmed that a heavy-duty trail bus is coming.
Ooh.
So I was originally kind of really, that piqued my interest, but let me show it to you. So Chevy, Silverado.
I mean, it makes sense. Ford has a heavy-duty Tremor.
And Chevy has heavy a trail bus, Colorado, Silverado light-duty, and now heavy-duty. So it really makes sense.
And Ram has a Power Wagon.
Yes.
Don't care.
Or Rebel.
Do care.
So
I don't know.
But Roman, I want to drive this new heavy-duty trail bus that's coming soon, but it appears to be mostly, other than the tires, kind of a cosmetic package. And I'm not a big fan of cosmetic packages. I want them to be real.
What does that mean, cosmetic? What are you
talking? So it's got blacked-out grille, red tow hooks, blacked-out door handles, blacked-out mirrors, wheels. It's got a beefier tire.
Does it have red shocks? Does it have ranchos?
You know what? They didn't say if it had the ranchos or not.
And how much is it?
It starts at, I'll show you here.
65?
With a gas engine, 65,000.
Yeah.
This is for a crew cab, of course. And then with the diesel, it's about $10,000 more. And the trail bus package costs about $39.65, about $4,000. And you do have BFG all-terrain tires. That's what comes with it as well.
So what you're saying is it's not a prospect or a competitor.
No, definitely not.
And the Tremor does come with bigger shocks and a lift.
And diesel.
Well,
diesel too, and also F-350.
Yeah, and a potential winch if you want one.
By the way, I recently found my dream truck, so I thought.
Okay. Yeah. Was this the BYD Shark?
No.
No. Not the Shark?
No, it was a big heavy duty.
Okay.
We published a video this week, so check out oldcfl.com. Ian and I, who's our videographer.
And I'm sure that it was affordable, Andre.
It was not affordable.
How much?
But it was a dreamy truck.
How much?
$105,210.
So let me separate some things here, okay? We buy a lot of expensive trucks.
Yes, we do.
So we bought the Cybertruck. We bought the Hummer EV.
Raptor R.
But these are business expenses. So please, I know the temptation is for you to associate us with those trucks as our personal trucks.
As our personal, they're not personal.
They're not personal. They're business expenses. And, you know, hopefully if we do things right, you guys watch the videos.
And we don't lose much money.
Yeah, they pay for themselves. So over a period of, you know, 6 to a year, we keep them. We make a bunch of videos. And then we move them on and we buy something else. So... I'm trying to be not fake here by saying that you know we do understand that a $105,000 truck is freaking expensive.
But I really wanted it.
I'm sure you want. I wanted too. What would your wife say though?
That's not gonna fly.
Yeah. Okay. I could just see you trucking home in this bad
Hi, honey,
boy,
I,
and she pulls into the garage in her i3.
And her eyes pop out, right?
Yes.
And her i3 costs what? Maybe $7,000, $8,000 now?
By the way, the i3, that's a real and one of the first. You know, God, BMW was so early with the i3 and the i, probably too early, but
2014, they came out with it.
Yeah, that's a real.
With a range extender.
Range extended vehicle. And since then, nobody has actually done much with it except for the Chinese and hopefully except for Ram. Are we going to get to that pretty soon?
Yeah.
Is that on your list?
We're getting there.
Okay, right. Keep going.
And also, Chevy Bolt. Volt. Sorry.
Was also early.
Volt,
yeah.
Very early and now gone.
Now gone, yeah.
I want to mention a couple things.
Okay.
I want to mention you and Tommy saw the new Chevy Tahoe.
Yes.
So redesigned Tahoe, Suburban. I saw the redesigned Yukon. We also have the new updated Escalade coming up soon.
I was amazed at how big those. I was joking to him, right? So we go to the reveal of the Tahoe and the
Suburban.
Suburban,
yep.
And I'm just joking. You say, so can you get 24s? And they're like, yeah. I was just kidding.
They said, Roman, you asked for it. It will have 24-inch wheels.
20, and by that you can probably assume that it's neither a hybrid or a range extended vehicle or a plug-in hybrid, because
it's a good old V8.
Yeah, 24s aren't going to be rolling very easily.
Well, actually, electricity can roll anything, but just not very far. So anyway, so those are coming, Roman, but it seems like they've been delayed a little bit because...
Because the 24s are hard to forge?
Maybe. But look, your video with Tommy, you guys went there November 29th, 2023. And this is, middle of September 2024. So it's been 10 months and still no new Tahoe or Suburban.
Yeah, I could see why the electric trucks were delayed. The Hummer EV, Silverado was delayed. EV, all the electric stuff, because obviously they were still figuring out all the kinks. But they know how to build a Suburban and Tahoe.
And they're building Texas.
Yeah, and these guys aren't these aren't even evolutionary. It's just kind of a semi-mild refresh,
small
right?
Updates, yeah.
Yeah, so what they did was they gave them new tires. I'm sorry,
new wheels,
new grills. They gave them a different screen.
They
lowered the cowl a little bit so it's not so claustrophobic. Different colors, red tow hooks, but nothing that we haven't seen for the last 20 years.
Yeah, and they kept the engines, the 5.3, the 6.38s, yeah. And also 3-liter diesel is coming. So I just wish they would bring them sooner. And also the Yukon, same thing, and the same thing with the Escalade.
Yeah, I've been hankering for a big American truck.
An SUV?
Yeah, I've been really hankering for one of these bad boys. But the problem is we only have so much space here in the garage. And if I leave it up at the ranch, it could, I suppose, live in the barn because otherwise it's going to get mouse chewed. We don't want a new mouse chewed truck, do we?
No, Andre? For $80,000. No,
those mouse can chew on.
Well, look at this Yukon, my friend. Else. That's a sexy beast, isn't it? Like Mr. Truck would say.
Yeah. And you think with winter coming that the mice would not be around, but it's actually worse in winter.
Well, because they want warmth.
They want warmth and they want a home. Yeah. So it's even worse in the wintertime.
So, yeah, and also what I'm wondering about, Roman, speaking of GM, is more versions and more affordable Silverado EV and Sierra EV. They promised an LT Silverado EV mid-grade. They promised a Trail Boss Silverado EV and some others, and we haven't seen any of them
Well,
yet.
It could be part of the retrenching, Andre, where where people are now debating and wondering whether the EV notion is something they should have followed up on or not. I tend to be, I think, neutral on this. I really don't care what powers a vehicle, whether it's a V8 or an electric battery. I think both technologies are interesting and fun, but I just believe people should have the choice to buy whatever they want.
Yeah, so we haven't seen it, but they should be coming soon.
Let me put a caveat on that. I do like new technology. So one of the reasons, I bought that i8 was because it's got some really cool tech.
But it's 9 years old.
Yeah, but it was real cut. Yeah. It's still cutting edge today, right? They still haven't caught up to what the i8 and the i3. I mean, there's nothing with that much, at least not in America, with that kind of interesting technology. And it's not just the plug-in hybrid. Both those cars are built on a carbon fiber shell.
Yeah, which is very exotic and very cool.
I can't get this mic right, dude. It's either too high or too low.
Are you having mic problems?
I'm having mic problems today, yeah. One feels like it's about to punch me in the face, and one feels like I'm not getting good sound.
My favorite T-shirt we have on our merchandise store says, Karma is a Hitch.
I like that. I like the other one.
Or Life is a Hitch.
I like Diesel, small, better than, higher, bigger than?
Greater than.
Greater than, yeah, greater than gas. I like that one. That's a pretty cool one. If you guys want a T-shirt, boy, we're doing a lot of selling today, Andre. Just click below the video if you're watching this,
yeah.
Or head on over to tflstuff.com. All right, so what do we got there?
Well, in a couple months, or maybe even sooner, maybe in a month, the Ram RHO is supposed to be hitting dealerships and customers, so that's quite exciting. There's a lot of controversy about this truck. It's not a TRX replacement. It doesn't have a supercharged V8. It has a high-output Hurricane 3-liter twin-turbo. But a lot of people are wondering about it, me included. I really want to drive one. I really want to test it. And so we're working very hard to actually get our hands on one.
So we could have had a video with it riding around because we got an email recently saying that the truck will be at the State Fair of Texas. Which is coming up shortly, but they're giving journalists rides.
Not drives.
And in the past, and let us know in the comments below, because I'd love to get your opinion. I mean, maybe maybe we should go down there. But in the past, whenever we have put ourselves in a situation where we're doing just a ride-along, we get a lot of, not angry, but, you know, disappointed just, comments saying,
yeah, why aren't you driving
why
it?
Why aren't you driving it? It's kind of our job to drive things and not to, you know, how can you judge a vehicle, especially a truck, if you're in the passenger seat? It really is almost impossible to figure out how it accelerates, how it steers, how it brakes, how it makes you feel. Maybe that's a more important one.
How it jumps.
Oh, it jumps, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're taking a pass on it, but if you guys really want us to go down there, Andre, I guess we could go down there.
I guess you just buy me a ticket.
When is it?
It's in 4 days from now.
Well, so this.
Well, if this is this weekend.
Yeah, forget it. Forget everything I said.
What? Why?
Because you said the state
fair. It's within a few days.
Right, but by the time this airs, it'll be happening.
No.
No?
It's next. It's a Thursday from this Thursday.
Okay, so 7 days. Okay. So I thought it was this weekend.
It's 3 plus 7. It's 10 days from now.
So we could potentially still jump on a flight and go down there. But
anyway, please let us know in the comments. We'll read it. But, so do you want us to be in Texas and just ride in a truck? Dude, I kind of want to go. Although my wife will be angry. Because I've been gone. I've been gone on 30 trips this year.
I've traveled every week this week in the last month.
Every week this week?
Every week this week. I traveled every week. Every week this month, I've been on a program. And I just did the ABAs, and I did 11 reviews in 2 days. I'm getting kind of burned out.
Yeah, it's
and
not
it probably
easy.
Shows in those videos.
And
so
I really
want to
be
me.
There.
I'm getting tired.
I really want to be there, Roman. But like I said, there's only so many days and hours we have. With our families or with our jobs here at TFL?
I just don't like the idea of getting a ride along because I feel like we're not doing our job, Andre. That's really where it's at. I'd be more up for just a walk around of it, but we've already done that.
At least twice, I think.
Yeah, and so a third walk around with us sitting in the passenger seat is not going to, it might get views, but it's not going to move the conversation forward, is it? It's not. What I mean by that is it's not going to give you guys any more information beyond the fact that Andre's sitting there trying to guess at what it feels like to drive it.
What about exhaust sound?
Unless,
exhaust could sound.
You could get that, and you could potentially at a stoplight just, you know, you're 6'3".
Well, what if it's
on you could kind of nudge the driver out of the door.
And say, see ya. Say, no. What if it's just a little course? You know, sometimes they have those little parking lots with cones.
Oh, that'd be even worse. I just know I got a lot of crap when I went for a ride-along in the LFA back in the day. A lot of the comments
were
that
was
like,
decades ago.
That was decades ago. No.
Sorry.
Maybe they would have sold more of them if they had actually let us drive it.
Exactly.
Because they couldn't sell them initially.
So new comments.
You could get the sound, I guess. Yeah. Is there sound of the thing at all anywhere?
There was a prototype
running
shot
on,
of it.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, I remember,
there was a big phone video that somebody showed it accelerating.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a, you know, on a random street by a random phone.
And there was a lot of noise.
Random guy.
All right, keep going.
Ram Heavy Duty, Roman. It's supposed to come next year or within a few months, and we still don't know much official stuff about it except that the comments should be updated. They may even have a new transmission in the 8-speed. So from ZF or ZF, like Europeans would say.
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. Save time on your paint project with help from Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape. Use on walls, trim, glass, wood, or metal for clean removal and clean paint lines every time. Save big and get a 3-pack of Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape on sale now through September 22nd. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
It looks, in that picture you're showing, it looks very similar to the outgoing.
This is our rendering.
Oh, it's our rendering. Okay, well, that would make sense. I keep walking into this entree.
So C-Roma, now we're transitioning to Caterpillar, okay? Because Caterpillar is based on AI renderings of just BS.
Look, here's the thing about the new, before we get to the Caterpillar, about the new RAM. There is so much competition, right, between the Duramax, the PowerStroke, and the Cummins.
Yes.
That none of these manufacturers want to do the moonshot. They all just kind of improve it a little bit at a time. When's the last time there was like, think of a headline now, like a, oh my God, wow headline when it came to the heavy duties, right?
What 2017, I mean?
Okay.
All aluminum body power strokes.
Follow the F-150.
Yeah, but Ram and GM still, you know, haven't really kind of jumped that way. They have some aluminum components. But Ford said, you know what, forget about it. We're going all aluminum bodies and beds all the time.
Yeah, you know, that's better than the tailgate wars, I guess.
But it gives you payload. The lighter body and bed gives you additional. So that in my mind, that was a big headline.
Okay, fair.
Then what else happened? 2020, GM completely redesigned their heavy-duty trucks. Remember that first picture that came out with kind of a bug-eyed, kind of a little bit ugly picture?
Yeah, I remember where it looked like the headlights were stacked on top of each other.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes, so that was, you know, they redesigned the cab.
That was a fist into the wind.
Double fist.
Design language, yeah. Like I'm doing a double fist into the wind here, yeah. But this is I'm talking about like revolutionary change where somebody comes in and says, like it's been happening in the rest of the industry, like somebody comes in and says, we have decoupled our diesel from the wheels, and now our diesel just serves like a train locomotive, just serves as a serial hybrid where all it does is charges a battery, which then powers 2, 1, 4 motors that are now in the hub, if there are four, right, that actually move the truck, giving you, because let's face it, I think we're kind of at the limit of torque when it comes to what the diesels can do. And it's a lot of torque, but still, you know, if we're talking torque, right, let's say a two engines walk into the bar.
Yes.
A diesel and an electric motor, right? And the diesel says, you know, I've got 900 pound-foot of torque, right?
Or 1,200.
1,200? The electric motor says, hold my beer. It does.
Yes.
Not only I have it, but I have it instantly. So it seems like something that the trucks based on torque would be good at. Of course, the problem is that you burn through the battery quickly. So something where you have the diesel engine actually recharging the battery, and then you've got the advantage of all that torque and all that instant torque to actually tow something long distance, seems like a win-win in my book. It might be expensive. That's the only downside. It might be very expensive, but that's the kind of revolutionary change I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, it's all about, for heavy-duty trucks specifically, we're talking about heavy duties only. It's about really how, you know, helpful of an asset it is, right? Is it efficient? Is it easy to fix? Is it, how often does it break down? You know, all those things are kind of hard to sometimes quantify, but fleets do it all the time. They call it cost to own, right? So and of course, they do it on big scales with hundreds of vehicles in their fleets, but thousands of vehicles. So yeah, it's hard to say what you would call a big leap of technology. And I'm not expecting a huge leap here for Ram. I'm expecting a better efficiency from the transmission. I'm expecting, they could surprise us. They could say, our new Cummins runs on hydrogen now, right? Which they've done. I mean, in other, you know,
they could put a CVT into it.
They could put a CVT into it. So they could surprise us.
Yeah, but I don't think they will. I think they're going to have, you know, a tweak of the design. They're going to keep that, you know, big semi-truck motif, right? And we are looking at a rendering. I realize that. I think they're going to, you know, update the Cummins, may fix some of the issues that they've had, you know, with the previous generation transmission to make it more bulletproof. Maybe black out the chrome. You know, chrome is now not in vogue. And, you know, then come up with a two-wheel drive that tows best in class. That would be kind of what I would have expected from the past.
Yeah, but it's going to get harder and harder, Roman, to tow the best in class because Ford pushed it to the within a whisker of regulations and possibility in 2023. Remember, they unveiled the F-450 truck dually Power Stroke maximum tow package that tows 40,000 pounds, but they removed the spare tire.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how close
I was listening.
That was.
I was listening to a podcast this weekend. It was this Car Buyer podcast. One of the comments that the host made was that four-wheel drives tow more than, you know, two-wheel drive. If you want to tow more,
no.
But I think there's also that. I think that's a very common misconception that we've been trying to bust for the longest time. And if you want to quickly explain why a two-wheel drive truck is the top towing truck versus a four-wheel drive, which logically would make more sense. But if you want to explain that, I would love to hear the answer.
Four-wheel drive, like if you wanted to have a four-wheel drive pickup truck, you need to add a transfer case, right? That transfers the power from the engine, not just to the rear wheels, but also to the front. And then that transfer case usually has low range. So it's it's got a lot of gears. That weighs something. Front axle, that's heavier, that weighs a lot. Front drive shaft, that weighs more. So once you add all those components and potentially more drag on the system, you subtract payload and you subtract some towing. Also, it's about cooling.
Okay, so let's start cooling. Let's start with the payload. Why does it matter that you subtract? Who cares? What does it matter?
When you put a heavy trailer...
You have more traction.
It's true. When you put a heavy trailer on the back of the truck, and then, by the way, I'm showing you a Kia concept.
We'll get to that soon.
When you put a trailer onto the hitch of your truck, even at the bumper or inside the bed for a gooseneck or a fifth wheel, you're basically taking payload away of the truck, you know, because that trailer is pushing down on your truck with a lot of weight.
Okay, but why does it matter? This is the part where I think people get confused. Why does that matter for when it comes to towing?
Because your truck has a maximum axle rating and maximum payload rating, and if you overload it, sure, you can go down the street, you know, a few blocks when it's overloaded. But when you overload it on the highway, you know, the axle bearings start to wear out. They could fail. You could have a catastrophic failure, Roman, if you're overloading your truck. And the more components you add to your truck, you know, massaging seats and panoramic sunroof and four-wheel drive and others, subtract payload, which means you cannot tow as heavy.
So if I get you right, Andre, what you're saying is the more stuff you put in the truck, right? So top towing trucks are never the King Ranch or...
They're the work trucks.
Yeah, they're always the trucks that don't have the big sunroof. And the reason for that is because the more stuff you put in or on the truck, the less payload you have, and the less payload you have, the less you can tow because the less trailer weight you can have.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so just thought I'd get that out there because it does seem counterintuitive to a lot of folk that you would think a big... four-wheel drive truck could tow more than a two-wheel drive truck, but it can't.
But like, I would recommend four-wheel drive for towing if you live in the cold states, you know, you need more traction.
Sure.
Also at the job site, you know, if you get bogged down in dirt or mud trying to pull some sort of trailer out, you also need four-wheel drive. So there are certain instances where you need four-wheel drive, of course, but you won't be able to tow the maximum loads that you wanted to.
All right, so what you got there, dude? A Kia concept? Well, looks like a little K truck.
Exactly. It's called the PV5, and it was unveiled at the CES, so Consumer Electronics Show, just a few months ago. And I think that's the moment where it's kind of like transformational, right? Big evolution. So it's basically all electric platform that Kia is thinking up. By the way, this is still for like Korean market, right? So this is not quite, they're not quite ready to talk about it for our market. But you could replace body components, Roman. They're saying that their PV5 electric concept, you could remove the bed on the back and put a van body on top of the same chassis. So
yeah, I mean, Volkswagen has been doing that, right? And Smart did that with panels. I mean, it's nothing new. So Smart had interchangeable panels.
And all of them failed.
Yeah.
So do you think this will fail?
Yeah. I don't think... The idea of changing out panels and... body parts is, you know, there was that Nissan that you could turn from a station wagon into a coupe. Do you remember that? Was that before your time? It's the same problem that like the Mercedes SL has, where you have a soft top and a hard top. First question is, you know, where do you keep that? Unless it's a commercial thing. Now you're showing me four of them. It looks like it's a commercial fleet thing.
But it's a family.
It's a family of vans
little
and trucks.
Vans.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, it's like once you set the seats in your truck or car, you probably just keep them there. You don't want to keep switching it around. You know, most people, once you have your settings to where you like them, and I think that also goes with not just software, but with hardware stuff, it's just a big pain to change it. And at the end of the day, it's too much of a kerfuffle to actually do so. Well, it's a nice idea for a concept, but in reality, I'm not sure it's actually going to fly.
So I'm kind of excited about this series of, they call it PV vehicles, or PV 1, 2, 3, etc.
If anybody will build it, it's Kia or Hyundai. And those guys, they're
tenacious.
They're tenacious, and they're rocking new designs and new vehicles like bubblegum out there. It's incredible.
And they're very brave with their designs and controversial at times. And I think if they do have this kind of electric chat platform, which they sell a lot of electric vehicles now, I think it could actually be that one of those revolutionary moments where maybe they can break through.
Yeah. All right.
So that should be coming up 2026-ish.
Okay.
Or so. Now, I think we're ready to talk about, well, we didn't talk about Nissan or Toyota. We can cover those briefly.
Has a new Forerunner. We've done videos on that. That's coming.
And we're excited by that.
We're super excited. We have a reservation for the Trail Hunter Forerunner. We'll see if we actually go through with it. We've got a lot of, as my mom would say, we got big eyes and small stomachs. As I would say, big eyes and small wallets. But that's, we've got a lot of new vehicles on order, and I'm not sure we can, afford all that unless we sell the Cybertruck, but we don't want to sell the Cybertruck yet because it's still getting views, and we still want to try to power a house with it, which somehow
we want to compare it to other things
because Excel's not being very forthright with their acceptance of that plan. But new Frontier.
New Frontier is getting updates for 2025. They should be reaching dealers any week now.
Okay.
So I'm really excited by that, and I want to, get my hands on it as soon as possible.
All right. Well, we've stalled long enough. Let's get to the Caterpillar news, huh?
Okay.
I shouldn't say stalled. I hope you didn't think it was stalling, even though it sort of was. We want to keep you listening. So we did a video a couple weeks ago basically debunking a lot of fake news about different manufacturers, including Yamaha.
Including Toyota, actually, also.
Building
little pickups, big pickups.
Yeah, so, and one of those was, of course, the Caterpillar pickup truck.
Which is the biggest one, kind of.
And to debunk that, we actually contacted our press contacts at Caterpillar.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of pictures of a Caterpillar truck that are all AI'd, so take it with a grain of salt, but we didn't hear back from them.
No.
And in the video, and I'm not saying, and podcast, I'm not saying that, they should get back to us, but I said, let us know what you're building, and there was, crickets. Whenever I hear crickets, the old journalist in me says, maybe there is something.
Maybe some validity to that.
Yeah, where there's a little smoke, there may be some fire. So since then,
a friend, Caleb,
over at The Drive,
yep,
has kind of broken some news about what actually may be happening with Caterpillar. So I think we need to talk about that because we had a long discussion this morning what it might mean. So tell them what the story is from The Drive, and then we'll tell you what we think potential implications are. Go for it.
So I picked up a phone and gave Caleb a call. And by the way, Caleb, thank you for, answering me very, very quickly.
See, this is independent journalism, Andre.
You don't get that with the AI. No. AI usually
AI
doesn't
will
call
not
you.
No, they won't call you. No, AI Roman and AI Andre will not be. Or they will be calling, but every one of you.
And they will be calling and asking for money or something like that. No, so what happened was, so the drive.com, I am actually there quite often. Somebody from Caterpillar anonymously contacted them and said, by the way, guys, I wanted to give you a little tip that we are building, this is a Caterpillar anonymous contact, says, we're building engine liners, that's the way they worded it, for an engine that is meant to go into a pickup truck.
So a liner might do a couple things.
Okay.
But one of the things it could do is it could make a bigger engine smaller. So imagine a piston, right? And it's, let's say the output is 6-7 liters, right? You could put a liner in there and make it smaller.
In the cylinder.
Yeah. So instead of 6 liters, it could be 5 liters, right? Because Caterpillar builds a lot of different engines. And huge ones. So that's one potential. The other way that it's been used, probably most famously, is with Land Rover Range Rover, where they took an old Buick engine and they kept boring it out to make it bigger and bigger. And then to keep the integrity of the block, they put in cylinder liners, which then notoriously got unglued or unstuck. And then instead of the piston going up and down, the liner started going up and down, basically disintegrating the head gasket, giving Land Rover the reputation of having less than reliable powertrains. Yeah.
But Caterpillar has a great brand name, right?
They do, yeah.
They have a trusted name. They're very successful in many different industries. Of course, everybody thinks construction, mining, but they're also in marine industries, right? They have powering boats. They have generator engines. You know, they have compressor engines. They have small vehicles, big vehicles for construction.
So my wife is from a little town in Illinois.
Yeah.
And as you know, Caterpillar is out of Peoria, Illinois, my home state. Her sister's ex-husband used to work at Caterpillar. So I'm very familiar with, you know, a lot of the things that Caterpillar does. They're like John Deere. Do you know how Caterpillar started?
How?
They had one of the first tractors, I believe.
Okay.
And it looked like a caterpillar.
Oh, I see. And they're like, let's call it Caterpillar.
Yeah, I think I saw that somewhere. If I got that wrong, guys, please feel decorated. I could probably Google it.
Is that what your ex-brother-in-law said?
No, I watched it on a show once.
Okay.
Let me look. I'll look.
Well, so let me keep going here, right?
Yeah.
So, once again, the way we debunked it, we didn't have a lot of firsthand information about this, but we knew all of these images we're showing you are computer-generated. And what I really hate is when on YouTube several of these channels say, this is our first review exclusive of the brand new 2025 or whatever, 2026 Caterpillar pickup truck. And it's not, because you can kind of almost see the computer-generated image right there in the thumbnail, and then you click on it, and they say, oh, it's going to cost this much, and it's going to have this power, and all of that information is invalid and made up.
So I Googled it here.
Yes.
So Caterpillar goes back to its founder, Benjamin Holt. That goes way back. It's in 1890, where he built steam tractors that were sometimes weighing up to 1,000 kilograms per horsepower and often sank into the earth. And I think that's where he came up with the I'm not going to read all this, but I think that's where he came up with the tracks. Yeah, you can see them there.
And it almost looked like a caterpillar crawling, right?
Exactly.
That's a really cool thing. And it's a strong brand name, right? And they're very successful. But in order to build a pickup truck, like we said last time, I don't want to repeat everything we said before, but it would take billions of dollars to build a factory that could be tooled to build a pickup truck. And then you have to, before you even do that, you have to design it and test it and validate it and crash test it and certify it with every government agency, not just here and abroad. And then you could maybe build a factory and maybe build it, and eventually, many, many years down the road, you might be able to sell it.
So kind of like Chevy with their Allison transmissions, we're thinking that perhaps what could be happening with Caterpillar is they could be building branded
engines
for other manufacturers. So think about this. Like Nathan suggested, Mitsubishi might be somebody who could be in the market, even though I doubt Mitsubishi is in the market. They do build their own trucks that aren't sold here. But imagine, like, let's just go there right away. Imagine, like, you know, a Ford F-150 powered by Caterpillar.
What would you guys say?
Yeah, what do you guys think of that, you know?
That's pretty attractive.
That's very attractive.
So you're combining two strong names, Ford truck with Caterpillar power.
And it's a diesel. So as you know, Ford for a while had an F-150 with a diesel. But that was an old diesel that was left over from the
partners. Land Rover, speaking of liners.
Land Rover, yeah. So I think, if I remember right, and correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, but I think I know this. I think when Ford sold off Land Rover to Tata from its Premier Automotive Group, it said, we're going to keep a license. We're going to either keep the factory or keep the license on those diesel engines.
And we're going to build some more of them.
And we're going to build more of them. We're going to put them in the F-150. But those diesels were neither successful nor very powerful nor very
efficient
because they go back a long way. So remember when there was this big rush of diesel half tons? So obviously Ram had the partnership with the Italian company, right?
Yeah, Navistar.
Was Ram Navistar? No, Ram was with the Italian company. They came from Italy.
Yes.
The Eco Diesel.
Yeah.
And then the first generation had that whole blow up with emissions, obviously. And the second generation, that's another whole podcast. And then, of course, we had the baby Duramax. And now we have the 3-liter, which is actually doing really well for GM. And then
VM Motori.
VM Motori, very good.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, very, very good, Andre. So GM has a 3-liter diesel.
Yes, which is still on sale, and it's really great.
Ram has a heavy-duty with Cummins. So wouldn't it be possible to have an F-150 diesel powered by CAT? I think that would, just that alone would certainly create a lot of buzz.
But let me debunk this debunk.
All right, debunk, my man.
So I spoke to, remember when 2022 Tundra came out, right?
Yes, I remember.
Because we need to talk about Nissan and Toyota here as well, right?
Sure.
Because they're still in the picture.
Titan powered by CAT?
Titan no longer exists.
It could come back. It could come back. The name still exists.
Chief engineer of Toyota Tundra.
I mean, they tried to partner with Cummins.
And it didn't work.
It failed, yeah.
Yes. Chief engineer of Toyota Tundra told me that they considered a diesel engine, but it was going to take several years, maybe 2 or 3 years, to certify it in the U.S. It's going to cost a lot of money to do so. And it wasn't worth them actually going that direction. This is Toyota speaking with a lot of budget and a lot of, the engineering resources.
So let me think about this now.
Yes.
I see what you're saying. So Toyota builds its own diesels.
They have Hino.
Yeah.
Hino.
In Japan, they have their own diesels, right?
Yes.
But has Toyota ever done like a co-branding thing with a company that doesn't directly compete with them? I'm not talking about bad engineering like the 86 and the Subaru BRZ. I'm talking about like, remember the Ford F-150 that was designed or somehow styled by Harley? Remember that? The Harley Ford F-150?
Sure, but it was like a cosmetic package,
so
to speak.
Yes. Yeah, but I don't think, I've never, can you think back of Toyota actually partnering either with a luxury brand? Like in when I was growing up, of course, like Lincoln Continental by Cartier.
Sure.
Right? Bill Blass edition. But has Toyota,
I think Lexus recently teamed up with somebody on the concept.
Lexus did, who did Lexus work with?
But it's different, Roman. Oh. We're talking about powertrains.
Has Toyota ever put in somebody else's powertrain in their trucks?
They're using a BMW engine in a Supra.
Their trucks?
No. I'm not aware of a case where in their pickup trucks or commercial vehicles.
Well, that's a partnership, obviously. What you're talking about is the Supra and the Z4, where BMW and Toyota partnered on a convertible and a hardtop.
And the Subaru engine is in the 86,
yes.
Right? The Boxer,
yes,
right. So,
but I'm
Toyota
talking,
has
I'm talking
done
about
some of this
non-automotive brands, right? Like Cummins and Ram, who else?
Like Allison and anyways,
Allison is Toyota. Is that crazy?
Huh?
Yeah, I thought Allison was owned by Toyota.
Eisen.
Oh, Eisen. That's right. I got that wrong. So Eisen's owned by Toyota.
Eisen is owned by Toyota, and they
so
make
we could see an Eisen transmission in a Toyota.
We could, and we do. Yeah.
But anyway, I just feel like today, especially with trucks, they've become such an extension of somebody's personality. You see what I'm saying? So once upon a time, the truck was the biggest tool in your tool case, as Ram likes to say. So something that people used as a work tool. They drove it because they needed to tow a lot, because they needed to haul a lot, because they needed to go and fix people's plumbing, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But most trucks now, I think, are expression of people's lifestyle, right? They buy trucks because it says about them. And there's nothing more lifestyle-y, and there's nothing more workman-y than a Caterpillar, right? It goes with both. It's like the Carhartt of
Chevy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chevy's worked with Carhartt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I can almost see that would be a natural partnership that could sell a lot of trucks.
Yes, but does that mean that Caterpillar is providing engines, or are they just providing styling? Maybe, different, wheels
if
or...
If they're building liners for a pickup truck.
I don't know if I want to put too much weight into this story yet.
Well, do you think that they'll go as far as building their own truck?
No.
No.
That's what I'm saying, is it will take years and years and years, specifically for U.S. Okay, maybe they can do it in other countries.
So they have built their own truck.
Not really.
A semi-truck.
Yes.
And it failed, but it didn't even have a Caterpillar engine
no,
in it.
No, they used somebody else's engine in it.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Caterpillar has done some pretty wild stuff.
But they do wild stuff.
They do wild stuff.
Yeah, they're not like Toyota where they're conservative.
How about F-150 by DeWalt?
What, an electric one?
How about that? So since we're talking about brands, you know, partnerships, how about Milwaukee Chevy 1500 by Milwaukee?
Silverado by Pittsburgh.
How about Craftsman? How about Ram Craftsman? So anyway,
but these are tool manufacturers. These aren't, you know. I mean, if you're gonna, the analogy to that would be, you know, some other company like Volvo, right? They build a lot of heavy equipment, but they also build their own cars
and semi trucks.
So Volvo already is pretty much vertically integrated in that world.
So basically, the drive story was that this anonymous contact said that they're building engine liners, and so that lends some, you know, some validity to some of these rumors. But I still don't see it. I mean, I tried to play mind games with this, and it's not coming out on my end.
I wish it comes out. I would be super excited to drive a Caterpillar truck.
I would too.
I mean, I could see the other thing that is kind of potentially doable here is if you got Caterpillar to build it so that it's functional instead of fancy, right? Like a lot of their work utility vehicles then I think there would be a market for it. I think people are really getting sick of all the fancy trucks, and it'd be fun to have something that's more functional than fancy. And somehow it just, you know, like the ultimate in non-truck world is obviously the Cybertruck, right? That is so far out of the mainstream that it does generate a lot of interest, but I don't think it generates a lot of interest among traditional pickup truck guys and gals. But I think a Caterpillar pickup that didn't go as far into the new world order of things, but just kind of brought back the basic functional tool-like aspect of a truck. I think it would sell. But the question is, can you make it affordable enough? I mean,
and soon enough. Roman.
This is a thing that might work now, but may not. Who knows what the economy would be like? You know, this time next year, let alone this time next month.
Or next 5 years. How about 5 years?
Yeah, how about 5 years? Yeah.
So let me look at some other companies that came on board, right?
Okay.
So we had recently Rivian come on board, backed kind of a standalone company, right? And then backed by Amazon and some others. We have Lucid come on board. All of them are struggling a little bit, right? And they had big backings. Caterpillar has a lot, you know, they're a publicly traded company. They have a lot of backing, of course, as well. And then there's many smaller companies that failed. You know, Bollinger did not produce a pickup truck. Canoe, I don't know where Canoe is. They're floundering somewhere.
Yeah, Canoe is
up the river
without a paddle, literally. I mean, they moved right. They moved in somewhere into the south.
But these are great designs.
Yeah.
Right. All of them had really interesting designs and quite interesting executions.
But what we've learned, especially in the automotive world. In the luxury world, is that brand equity is huge, right? Yeah. I mean, Rolex sells not watches based on what they do, but based on the name. Ferrari sells a lot of their cars not based on what they build, but based on the name. Same thing with Porsche. Why? I mean, is this kind of the Porsche of? Could this be the Porsche of the truck world? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I would love to drive a Caterpillar truck.
And let's say, you know what they could do? They could say, hey, Ford, GM, or Ram, give us a chassis.
Mm.
You know, give us suspension, chassis, and we'll put our own style on it. We'll put our own body and engines into
our own engine liners?
And our own liners all over that thing. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and right now, as far as I can tell, Andre, there is no diesel midsize truck, so that's wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just assuming we're talking about a full-size truck here.
Or heavy-duty.
But why couldn't it be a midsize?
Yeah, or a compact.
Yeah, I mean, GM did away with the baby Duramax in the Canyon, Colorado, and when they exited the stage, nobody replaced them.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
So there you have it.
There you have it. I hope you've enjoyed spending some time with Andre and me. We always enjoy spending time with you guys. We always read the comments, so I do read when you say I interrupt Andre too much, so I hope I didn't interrupt you too much.
I'm happy.
Okay, he's happy. You guys may not be happy. Yeah. And remember, if you want to keep independent... truck reviews alive. I hate
keep
to say
watching
that,
and listening.
Yeah, or no, go to Patreon.
No, just keep watching and listening.
That helps too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even mean to say the word journalism because it's such a funky world now, right? Between influencers and journalists and something in between. I don't. What are we, influencers? What are we? I don't even know what we are, dude. I don't know what we are anymore.
You know, my friend Emmy told me recently, this weekend, that I influenced her to buy a new Meta Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Oh, really?
With a camera.
I thought you were going to say you influenced her to buy a truck.
No, sunglasses.
Managing editor of TFL Truck is influencing people to buy sunglasses.
With a camera in it.
Knock me over with a stick, Andre. Is that the one where you can do little shorts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she did.
Yeah.
I used it and she's now will be using it.
There you go.
So there you go. I influenced somebody.
So you are an influencer.
Yeah.
Hey guys, where should they go, Andre, if they want more of TFL?
OldTFL.com and also TFLtruck.com. Guys, we have a lot of news stories there.
Yeah. Andre's dream truck.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Ciao.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.